Welcome to the Barth Calderon Wealth Protector Podcast. Our founder, Harry Barth, and his son, Brad, are top speakers on asset protection and estate planning to many incredible groups across the country, including the Women Presidents Organization, Vistage, the Young Presidents Organization, the California Apartment Association, and many more. And now, here is your host, Paul Hitchcock.
Hi, everybody. This is Paul Hitchcock, and welcome to Wealth Protector TV. Very fired up to have my guest, Craig Strom, here, who is with the law firm Barth Calderon, Asset Protection, Estate Planning, Business Planning. Craig, welcome.
Hey, great to be with you again, Paul. Love it.
Yeah, and we're going to jump right into this. Just a sort of a quick hit on planning, estate planning with children. Craig, what are we talking about today?
This is actually a topic that came up recently with one of our new clients. Actually, we had a new client who was introduced by their CPA to our firm, and we went through with our legal team and helped with a variety of different new legal planning items that they had. Most importantly, their basic estate plan. They Yep. did not yet have living trusts and wills and all of that set up. And a big part of that planning was testamentary trusts built into their new estate plan. And that was the big question, like, what the heck is that?
Yeah, what is that?
Well, that is actually where, for example, in a family where they might be passing on real estate or any significant wealth, it may be a good maneuver to let the estate plan create individual trusts for the children when mom and dad pass away. Testamentary trusts.
Okay, so this is instead of just handing assets to your kids, put it into a trust for them that's created when the parents pass away.
Exactly. And the major topic there was, let's make sure that the kids have an option to keep some of this inheritance completely separated and protected from their other personal assets in the future. Thereby creating a pretty huge asset protection benefit in addition to managing inherited assets. That was a big incentive.
Yeah, no, you bring up a good point because I've heard you and others at the law firm talk about this idea, especially if the child is in a high-risk profession, a doctor, you know, even, you know, lawyers, you know, whatever
business
it
owners,
is.
Business owners.
Yeah, they own a business. They own rental income property where there's high risk and lawsuits around those things. Going into a trust instead of giving them assets outright means that there can be asset protection around the inheritance from the potential future creditors of the kids. Is that right?
Absolutely. And now more importantly, and the kids' spouses. Oh. That is a big deal, that giving the kids the option to inherit property, investments, anything in general through a separate testamentary trust gives them the ability to make that choice. They can separate it from a spousal asset, community property, for example. They can separate it from anything that a creditor might be able to attack on a personal basis or a business basis.
Yeah,
so it's powerful.
Yeah, and that's interesting because if you get an inheritance, I know there's separate property with inheritance, but then if you start commingling that with your marital assets, it gets recharacterized. And then if there is a divorce, your ex-spouse becomes a creditor.
Yes.
And then it's all murky, right? So if you have it in this separate trust, doesn't mean you lose control, right? You still have access and all that.
Absolutely. You still maintain control, the ability to use the asset and benefit from the asset. However, creditors, predators, you know, floozies and gigolos, like I always say, it makes it very difficult for them to then come after those assets because they are held separately in a protected way. Just makes it a bit more safe, if you will.
Yeah. And this is where, Craig, that there needs to be a conversation between children and parents, right? And that can be somewhat tricky, but I know you help with that also as families are going through this is, you know, there's got to be open dialogue there. And so you're good at fostering that discussion about parents need to set up this trust while they're alive and there's no mental, you know, issues going on with, you know, cognitive issues. It's got to be all put together and the kid should be included. Would you say that's a fair statement?
Oh, absolutely. You know, at Barth Calderon, we operate as a team. And as a member of that team, I am fortunate to be able to have a lot of conversations with our new clients, kind of opening the door to all of these conversations and then bringing in the team members to help button it all up and put the new legal plans in place. But most importantly, having everybody on the same page is really important. We have a brand new client going on right now where we've got mom and son and daughter involved in the conversation, and it's going to be great. It's really a great way to go.
And I've seen it where the structure of that trust can be, you know, parents set it up upon their passing. It goes into a trust where there is a trustee, a named trustee, either an individual or an institution. And then the child is the beneficiary of the trust. And so it really the trustee controls it, but if the relationship is a tight one, then
right.
You know, they're working together, but there's asset protection because, you know, if the child gets in trouble for something and, you know, there's a creditor coming after them, well, they're not, you know, fully the one that's in charge of the trust. So, you know, they can't get in, right?
Absolutely. There's two parts to that, Paul. That's a great point that from a creditor perspective, right, having an inheritance then subject to the claims of a creditor, that would be just devastating to the plans.
Right.
But we often see these types of trusts used in different variations for children or grandchildren who may have special needs. They may be receiving state disability benefits for a disability of some kind.
Good point.
And if they receive a large sum of money directly, it would eliminate their benefits for sometimes years and years and years that they would lose their government assistance benefits and have to burn through inherited assets, where a separate testamentary trust can actually be established to protect those assets and those benefits.
That's a great point. And so this is the process of doing this is just sitting down with the parents. And even if they have an existing trust, it can be modified. I mean, what does that look like, that whole process?
It really is just that. It starts with a conversation. Some of the deeper conversations that I've had just this year have been with folks who have researched getting DIY estate plans done online, you know, going to the interweb and getting some discount estate plan.
Right.
And then I ask the question, well, how is the special needs provision going to be established or the testamentary trust options and the details that are not present when you do the DIY side? That's where a deeper conversation really pays off. And the situations that come up really need to be explored. And then we get our team on board and we figure out how to make everything work.
Here's another example, and that's great input. Another example that I know came up at the firm is husband and wife, and the husband not only owns a business, but also has inheritance from the parents. Wife is a real estate broker. She gets sued.
Yeah.
There's some issue going on. It gets personally named in a lawsuit. Some states like California are community property states. So the liability to one spouse is a liability to the other spouse. It's a big community bucket of all assets. So if there is no planning, no separation of assets, that liability on, in this case, the wife's side being sued, that could bleed over to the husband's business.
Absolutely.
All that
yes.
stuff. So this is where the asset protection of separate property, treating inheritance, and even post-marital separate property agreements I've heard you talk about keeps it separate, right?
Absolutely. Oh, it's so true, Paul. You're hitting on so many things that the conversation, as you asked just a moment ago, the conversation is just the beginning, right? Often we find that as we dig deeper on things, we find out that the missus just inherited this, or right, the husband or one of the kids received a large settlement in a lawsuit, and that money is sitting in a checking account unprotected. Right. You just never know where the conversation would go. That's why it's so important to start with that complimentary assessment call with a member of our team.
Right. Really, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I got to mention this one other, because this is a call that came into the firm yesterday, is an individual owns rental income property.
Okay.
Also is the executor for his deceased father's estate. So he's got properties going on there that are transferring over. Hard money lender lent money and ended up having to foreclose on a property with a tenant, the tenant suing for $5 million and has an attorney attacking. My point here is that everything's exposed. The inheritance he's getting, his own property, and they're going after him hard. So this is, as you were talking, I'm just thinking this plays right into it, is had he had asset protection set up and all the ducks were in a row.
Right.
He'd be safer. So, you know, isn't this a great example of what we're talking about?
It is a perfect example. It really comes back to simple and cheap is not always good. Most right, likely not good at all. It's actually the wrong way to approach some of the most important estate planning and financial planning you might ever do, in the form of getting your personal affairs in order legally and protecting your assets. It's really not something that you want to just DIY it. It's important to have it done right.
Yeah, because it doesn't matter if nothing ever happens. It's when something happens.
Exactly.
That you need it to work. And that's, I know, when people call you and the firm and say, uh-oh, I got this thing going on, and now they're scrambling.
Yeah, had that call 2 weeks ago, Paul, and I had to be the one to say, sorry, it's too late.
Right.
And I know we've received those calls too many times. And this is why we do these types of videos and conversations with you and I and the rest of the team, is we really want to motivate people to just pick up the phone and get that assessment, take action on it. Because like you said, if it never happens, nobody ever feels that pain. But when it does, it's really painful for us to have to be able to say we can't help.
Yeah, no, love it, Craig. And I know for all those of you watching, wherever you're watching this video, because we stream these everywhere, Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, and blogs, that we always around it have a complimentary assessment. You can get one-on-one with Craig and the rest of the team and look at your situation. Small, medium, or large, it doesn't matter. We're here to give input. We just have a passion about getting out there and helping people to get organized, because we see it on the other side where there's so much pain when something goes on. So, Craig, great to have you. We'll be doing this again shortly. Appreciate you being here, and thanks everybody for listening.
Awesome, Paul. Take care.
Okay.